Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
Welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
So happy to be back. Back in 2021 and in 1984.
We like living in the past, apparently. Yeah, so...
That's the basis for this podcast.
It is, which you should follow us on social media because this might be your first time listening to What Difference Does It Make. If it is, welcome. And to learn more, Holly, where can they find us?
Well, you can go to our website where you can find all of our episodes at WDDIM Podcast. And you can check us out on Facebook because we post some really fun stuff. And that is the What Difference Does It Make podcast or WDDIM podcast on Instagram, Twitter. You can find us on YouTube. You can find some behind the scenes stuff there. So check us out. And if you feel so inclined, we'd love a review. We really want to know what you like and don't like. So please, please, please let us know.
Yes. Give a listen. Let us know what you think. As we did last year. Back in that, whatever that year was, that year that shall not be named. We talked about 1983 for the first part of the new year. And then we went into interviews and talked with various people. And now I think we're going to pretty much do this same format in 2021.
Yeah, I loved all our interviews and it turned out to be a really fun year in interviews for the What Difference Does It Make podcast. I kind of miss talking about the pop culture and the music of K-Rock, the rock of the 80s. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting back to that.
As kind of a primer, we talk about the year and then we just what was going on in our lives and pop culture-wise in 1984. And then we will look at the K-Rock 106.7 songs from that year and kind of...
Take them apart.
Yeah, really. Take them apart, put them back together. 10 song chunks per episode. That's kind of fun as well. And it should be a great year because 1984 was spectacular.
Yes, it was. It was spectacular in music, of course. But it was kind of fun. This gave us the opportunity to look back at some like TV, other music that we might not talk about on a regular basis, and some events that happened. And So I'm kind of really looking forward to talking about some of this stuff.
Dare I say that 1984 was the greatest year ever in music? Go ahead. Challenge me on that. Can't come up with another year. Hold on. Before you render a decision... Let's talk about 1984, and then you could say, Dave, you're right. 1984 pretty much was the greatest year ever, or you know what? I really enjoyed the year 1999 when Korn was taking over, and that rap metal scene was, that was the peak. We had NSYNC, we had Korn, we had Limp Bizkit, we had the destruction at Woodstock. Those were good times. Instead of 1984 when we had the Summer Olympics and Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie and Band-Aid and so much other stuff that happened. And so let's get into it, all right? Before you render your decision. Don't wait me. Come on.
I'm not rendering a decision. I will not render a decision.
Okay.
But I am going to point out Sunglasses at Night.
Corey Hart.
Is that one of your favorites?
Why are we pointing out... That's the first song that comes to mind for 1984, Sunglasses at Night.
No, I actually had forgotten about the song. And I'm neutral on the song, but I'm not saying that it's not up in my favorites.
So I'm confused already. Why did you even bring it up? We're talking about Best Of, and you brought out a mediocre song for you, which is a perfectly fine song.
You were talking about my decision and how great 1984 is. While I agree it's great, I also wanted to point out the stuff that maybe we didn't love as much as Band-Aid or Two Tribes.
All right. First of all.
How about Missing You? How about John Waite?
Those were all beautiful songs. Okay. Great, great music. All right.
Yeah, I'm neutral.
So my job is to convince you that 1984 was the greatest year. All right. Okay. So first of all, let's start with January 2nd. All right. After New Year's, this woman takes over a show as host of WLS's TV's AM Chicago show. Do we know who this woman is who took over and would soon launch a nationally syndicated show? And it all started in the beginning of January 1984. That was Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, Oprah, of course. And then she took over the world.
Yes. This was her entry, first in Chicago and then took over the world. You know who else started in 1984? TV show host Alex Trebek.
Alex.
All right. So, you know, TV.
He is absolutely worth celebrating.
You know what else debuted in 1984, TV-wise?
TV-wise.
We're talking Miami Vice, ER, Who's the Boss, Murder, She Wrote, Punky Brewster.
Show?
Well, we don't talk about The Cosby Show.
Yeah, but, you know, we are talking 1984, so we have to be.
All right. Back in 1984, we love Bill Cosby. He's TV's dad. Now he's TV's creep.
He's everybody's creep.
Just TV's creep. But back in the day, yeah. So that was a very good time, 1984. I know I wore shoes without socks and had my little jacket rolled up and, you know, sunglasses and wore my floral clothes. Looked mighty fine, if I do say so myself.
You know what? When 1984 actually started the menswear movement for women. So like blazers.
Was that the shoulder pads?
I love that stuff. There were still shoulder pads in 1984. Yeah. Like blazers and, you know, like pleated pants, like menswear, which I really liked.
So kind of like the Diane Keaton look from Annie Hall.
Yes,
Annie Hall. But that was 77, I believe. So it finally caught on worldwide in 84. It was an androgynous look. And that might have been part of, you know, because of Boy George and Annie Lennox. These were artists that kind of set the fashion trends.
Yeah.
A little androgynous look.
A little bit later, you're right. Annie Hall being 1977, she was definitely a pirate way before her time.
Oh, still is.
And way off. Yeah, oh, yeah. Exactly.
We still love Diane Keaton. She is a wackadoodle, but we still love her.
We do. She's a fabulous actress, and don't badmouth Diane Keaton.
I will not.
But wait a second. I want to go back to TV because you were talking about all the shows, but we had some good shows that ended in 1984. Sorry, I'm taking you back.
That's fine. No, we're going all over the place. So I'm following you. Go ahead.
Okay. Did Happy Days ended in 1984?
Thankfully.
Yes.
I mean, so these shows had their run, and they were it was time to say goodbye.
Well, Happy Days jumped the shark. They were original. They were the original.
Yeah. That was something.
The Three's Company ended in 1984.
Also, remember the shows That's Incredible and Real People?
I do.
That was Real People. Those were the original reality shows. These were real people doing incredible things. That's incredibly real people.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the top shows in 1984. You think you can name any of them? You've already mentioned one of them. It was a debut show featuring Rudy, Theo.
Oh, the Cosby Show.
Okay. So the top shows in number from 10 to 1. Number 10, Cagney and Lacey. Number 9, Knott's Landing. These nighttime dramas. Yeah, these were huge. Murder, She Wrote. Angela Lansbury. Simon and Simon. The A-Team. Family Ties. 60 Minutes. Number 3 is The Cosby Show. Number 2... and number 1 are 2 nighttime dramas. Can you name either one of those? They both start with D's.
No. Were they doctor or were they medical dramas or
no, these
dramas?
No, these were just rich people doing rich people things.
Dynasty?
Dynasty was number 1.
And number Dallas.
And Dallas was number 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what people love. So back before we discovered how much we love CSI, and you know, all those shows, it was the nighttime soaps that took over.
So, and also in looking at that list, do you notice there were only 3 networks?
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course. It's very fine. There's still some shows we're still, like, as I look at the 16 through 30, there were shows that I thought were long gone, but were still around. Like number 27 was Alice, and number 24 is The Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah.
Number 19, The Jeffersons. Number 17, The Love Boat. Still going strong. How about that?
The Love Boat.
Yeah. But yeah, some other great, great shows. I mean, you know, if you love the A-Team, you were probably watching The Fall Guy. If you like Murder, She Wrote, you would love Scarecrow and Mrs. King. Good stuff. Webster was also on there. Number 26. Adorable Emmanuel Lewis. Good stuff. Good stuff. Doesn't get much better.
Mac ran an ad only once. It's 1984 ad. Do you remember it?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's talked about still to this day, I think. It was, yeah, just their introduction to the Macintosh computer. Kind of a dystopian viewpoint. And, you know, it was 1984. So, you know, let's cash in on this book that everyone's talking about, which really didn't come into fruition until 2020.
Yeah, and then it came in with a bang.
Yeah, right. Oh, do you know who directed that, by the way, that commercial?
Who?
That was Ridley Scott. So yeah, so you know which movies Ridley Scott directed, which kind of reflected on, kind of made sense after looking at this dystopian view of the world from this Macintosh computer. He directed Alien and Blade Runner and Gladiator. You know, he also did Thelma and Louise. He's been around. And kind of created a moment in 1984.
You know, more recently he directed The Martian.
Very good. So yeah, he's still directing. And so speaking of sports, there was also the Olympic Games in 1984 in Los Angeles. Did you go to anything?
I did not go to anything. Did you?
What? Yes, I went to the opening ceremonies. I believe
you
I
did?
Yeah. I think I saw a volleyball competition. Can't remember. I think that might have been it. I might have seen something else. But yeah, those were the two. Of course, I remember the opening ceremonies.
That was downtown at the sports arena, right?
That was at the Coliseum.
Coliseum, which is next door to the sports arena.
Right, because that was also the place of the 1932 Olympics.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it was made. It was made for, the Coliseum was built for the 1932 Olympics.
And that I did not know.
And still stands to this day.
The main thing I remember about the 1984 Olympics in preparation, we were warned about the traffic and how crazy the city was going to be, you know, how much more packed. And I don't really remember it. I think we were led to believe it was going to be worse than it was.
Yes, everyone panicked, as one does, and everyone left town. And we had the most perfect traffic ever. It was a wonderful time to drive the freeways.
To drive in LA.
Yeah. If you had to pick one time, that would be the time to drive in. Well, actually, 2020 would have been a good time, like March in 2020, late March. It's a good time to get somewhere you need to go. Yeah, we haven't seen those days are pretty much long gone. Traffic's actually bad. It's back to where it was. Not back to where it was, but still.
No, not nearly where it was.
Man, there's still people out there, I guess. But
yeah, where the hell are they going?
Places. Hopefully home. Go home. Can't go to the movies.
Yeah.
And that leads to my segue. What was the top movie of 1984? Give me.
Do tell.
Go ahead. Go ahead. See if you can name some of the top movies from 1984. I'll give you a couple hints. One is now a TV show that's debuting its third season soon because it's come back. So what movie would that be?
That would be The Karate Kid.
Correct. Yes. That was number 5. Made $90 million in 1984.
That's a lot of money for 1984.
It is. There's
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah. There's another one coming back. Yeah. That's right. Elizabeth Shue, who's in The Boys. Dystopian view of the world, just kind of a crazy view of the world, but in a funny and weird way. If you like Smashing Heads, you'll love The Boys. So yes, that was one, or that was actually Karate Kid was number 5. Number 10, Splash. You remember that?
Little Hannah.
Okay. Number 9, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, which I don't think I was not a Trekkie. I don't think I saw that one. I saw 1 and 2 and 4. I can't remember.
4 was the whale one.
4 was the whale. Yeah, it was like the masses. Yeah. Well, it appealed to me. I saw that. Then we got Romancing the Stone. Remember that?
Michael Douglas and Kathleen
Turner, who's got a deeper voice than me.
She has the best voice.
Yeah, she does. It's a good voice.
Sexy.
Okay, so then Footloose. There was a remake of that. That was, which was still not as good as the original. You ever do Your Angry Dance? Kevin Bacon where he's frustrated and he goes into the shed and does an angry dance. That was done in Flashdance as well, I think.
Yeah.
I still love the angry dance. That's my favorite.
Do you do one?
Oh, all the time. I just get so frustrated. Go in the garage and do my angry dance. Just jump on the furniture and do flips. Stuff.
I think all my dancing looks angry.
Yeah. Hey, you found the What Difference Does It Make podcast. We're going to take a break right now and we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Let's fire it up again. You've got the What Difference Does It Make podcast. Number 6, Police Academy. The first of 58 Police Academy movies. Good stuff. Number 5 with Karate Kid. Number 4, Gremlins. Good movie. Gremlins. Number 3, yeah. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Not a great movie, but still. Number 2, Ghostbusters. Great movie. Also coming back, there's going to be a Ghostbusters, hopefully, in the new year. We'll
another
see.
One?
Yeah. Yes.
You have a lot of opinions. What the hell was the number one movie?
Okay. It stars a guy from Saturday Night Live and his sidekick, who was from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He was an outsider who came to a new city and took it over and turned it upside down with his unique ways of solving crimes. He had a very funny laugh. He put a banana in a tailpipe.
Oh, Eddie Murphy, Beverly Hills Cop.
There we go. Ah, it's like pulling teeth with you.
Those are some of my favorites. They don't hold up though well, do they?
Oh, still no. That holds up.
I'm mean, for us, yeah, I'll laugh every time. But for our kids? But
I don't know. You think?
I don't think so.
What do they think of Eddie Murphy? I mean, he's Shrek. That's what, probably what your kids think of him.
Exactly, yes. And yes, we have seen Shrek before you asked me. We've seen every Shrek 20 times.
Okay, very good.
Before you accuse me of not showing my kids any movies.
Well, I will. Made $234 million. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
A lot of money.
They took all the money, considering that Karate Kid made $90 million. Beverly Hills, like everyone saw Beverly Hills. I think I saw it 2 or 3 times in the theater. Something like that. How much would you pay for a movie in 1984?
In 1984, I might have paid...
This is just the average price.
$4.
You would pay $2.50.
Wow.
That was the average price. So you might have paid a little bit more. In Los Angeles,
we usually pay...
We might have paid $4, possibly.
And for, but maybe for a matinee, we would have paid like $3.25.
Probably less. Yeah. Good, can good you stuff. Imagine? Yeah. Well, now we pay, now we pay, 10, what's Netflix? Like $12 a month.
Oh.
So.
Okay. But think about this. So, okay. 1984, I was working in retail. I was working at Camp Beverly Hills. We were in college.
Sure. Well, yeah, I know.
In college. And I was making.
$3.35.
$3.35, then went up to $3.85 an hour, and then I remember going up to $4.25 an hour.
Nice.
And yeah, right. We were paying that for a movie, so movie was 1 hour's worth of work.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, they take out your taxes, so you have to work 2 hours.
To see a movie, you're right. Yeah. And we loved our movie. We would go to multiple movies in a weekend.
Well, they showed double features still, I think, back then. I believe there were some theaters that were, still showed double features.
Yeah. Well, shout out to the Pepper Tree 3 in Northridge. That's where I used to see double features.
Nice. do you know which one best movie that year?
Oh, no. Do tell.
That was Amadeus.
Oh, Amadeus.
One of my favorites. Best original song went to, this was in the movie Woman in Red. And I think it hit number one. And it's sung by.
It's not Lady in Red.
Woman in Red is the name of the movie, not the name of the song. I know you're going to say Christa Berg, who sings Lady in Red, but this was from the movie Woman in Red. I believe Gene Wilder was in it, and it was sung by Mr. Stevie Wonder, and I believe it went to number one, and it's the worst song ever.
I can't even. You're going to have to play a clip of it.
Well, I can't play a clip of it, but the song is called I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although you say it's the worst song ever. I'm not a fan of the song either, but I think that that song has many fans.
Probably, but no.
But not you among them.
No. I mean, you saw the movie High Fidelity, didn't you? With John Cusack? Where they have the discussion of, I can't remember what the actual genesis of why they brought it up, but, a formerly great artist who starts making mediocre songs like I Just Called to Say I Love You. Do you even recognize that as being something from Stevie Wonder?
It's not the Stevie Wonder I would listen to.
Yeah. It was also a good year for movie music. There was a concert film. So there was Stop Making Sense, Talking Heads. That came out, I think, in October. It's still probably one of my favorite concert films ever. Mm-hmm. Really great. Also one of my favorite... films that I still reference. This is Spinal Tap, came out in 84, made $4.7 million in 1984. But yeah, it's made a career for those three guys.
And much more money over the years, I would imagine.
Yeah. It was also the year of Yentl.
Barbara Streisand.
Yes. An award-winning movie, Rhinestone, with Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone. I say award-winning because Sylvester Stallone won a Razzie for worst performance.
Let me guess, it was one of your favorite movies.
No, oh no. I mean,
you are a big Dolly fan.
I am, but Sylvester Stallone is singing in this movie. I don't think I ever saw it. Probably for a good reason. There was also something weird that happened. The movie Break-In came out in May and grossed $36 million. What came out in December of that year?
A movie?
Yes. Very good.
Oh, it wasn't Die Hard, was it?
No. Okay. Here's my Break-In came out in May of 1984. What came out in December of 1984?
Break In 2?
Yes, the sequel, Electric Boogaloo. So, yeah.
Oh, Break In.
Yes.
Not Break In.
Oh, yes.
Break In, as in breakdancing.
Do we know the movie Break In? Is that Break In?
No, I didn't. That's, note the confused look on my face.
Oh, okay. So yeah, those two movies, the sequel came out less than 7 months later. I should mention that after we record this, that yesterday, Shabadoo, who was in that movie, passed away yesterday. Do you know Shabadoo? Do you know, like, he was in the Lockers. Lockers was a dance group that was headed up by Tony Basil, and Fred Rerun Barry was in it, and so was Shabadoo, who was in both Break-In movies. And but he passed away. He was in Soul Train. They showed I saw Don Cornelius introduce Shabadoo, or Deep Shabadoo. I can't do it, but anyway.
Don Cornelius.
But yeah, he's doing the breaking moves. Not an angry dance, but he was doing those it was kind of like a robot dancing that was so huge in 84 without spinning around. If you weren't spinning on the ground, you were doing robot moves, and that was also part of Break-In, which I had no part of. I just could not do any of that.
No, but I loved watching it.
Yeah. Ah, all right. So yeah, shout out to Shabadoo. Yeah. 65. Oh. So anyway, there were other great movies that I'll mention before we move on. It was the year of Scarface, and and then some of my favorites, 16 Candles came out this year. Johnny Dangerously, Bachelor Party, The Natural, Revenge of the Nerds is a movie that has not aged well at all.
Nope.
It's, the nerds are looking back on it. The nerds were the bad people. I don't want to get into it, but they were horrible people, the nerds.
I think of Black Dad.
You don't remember? Oh, okay. Yeah, just taking pictures of nude women and putting on masks. There was sexual abuse. It was terrible. Yeah. But we looked at it as being funny back then.
So we did a lot of sexual stuff that we would never accept today. When you say sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Misogyny and so much stuff that we laughed at back then.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I'm sure Bachelor Party was the same. I haven't seen Bachelor Party in a long time. I'm sure probably the same thing. But yeah. I remember loving that movie as well.
Ugh. Okay, you mentioned,
which is probably why I won't watch it again. I just want to have good memories of that movie.
You mentioned Johnny Dangerously with Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Was one of the only, might be the only movie I have ever walked out of in my entire life. I saw it in the theater and I actually walked out, and I have never left a movie. Whoa. I'm so easily entertained.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember what it was.
But was it when I say Fargan Ice Hole, it doesn't mean anything to you.
Yeah. Well, yes, I know, but.
Okay. It was this gangster that had this accent, and I put your belts in a slink. They were just, doesn't matter. You walked out on it. Okay. Well, I don't know if it, it wasn't a great movie. It's one of those, sometimes some comedies, you remember certain lines and oh my God, that was so funny. And then you watch it again and going, oh, this was not a good movie, but.
Didn't hold up.
But yeah.
There was a lot more that happened in 1984.
Oh yeah. A lot more.
A lot.
There was an election that year.
Was there?
Yes. It was very close. Would you like to, how we focus on the electoral votes and, how important they are. Do you remember the electoral vote counts in 1984? It was Ronald Reagan against Walter Mondale.
What was the what were the electoral votes?
Okay, it was close because they had to have a recount and everything because it really got down to the wire. Ronald Reagan had 525 votes, electoral votes, to Walter Mondale's 13. Ronald Reagan won 49.
A landslide.
Yes, Ronald Reagan won 49 states, and Walter Mondale won his home state barely, and Washington D.C. Yeah, you don't remember that. That was probably the first election I voted in. How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was our first election because we were 19. I was 19.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyway, that was a landslide. I believe I voted for Reagan, which kind of plays out. It's an 18-year-old living at his parents' house and had no idea how much a gallon of milk cost or how much we paid in rent or, you know, just didn't have any worries. Like, all right, it's fine. Life is good. Let's vote for Reagan. So that's what I did. And I think that was the last time I voted Republican.
Discussed it with your parents?
No. I don't know who they voted for that year. Do you know what the average monthly rent was in 1984?
Okay. So in 1984, we were $600 a month.
The average was $350 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. How much would you pay for a gallon of gas?
Oh, a dollar?
Yeah, $1.10. That was the average.
Okay.
Supposing you wanted to get a truck, the Dodge Ram 50 truck, how much would you pay?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I'd pay zero.
All right. So the Chrysler New York, suppose a Chrysler New Yorker, or let's say you have...
Nope.
No? All right. So you got your boyfriend pulls up in the Chevrolet Corvette.
Funny you mention that because in 1984, I met a guy in college who drove a yellow Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
I fell madly in love.
Of course you did.
Would I have paid for that back then? Well, he was a drug dealer, so he could have paid a lot of money for it.
Okay. Again, good. That all tracks. Corvette, Holly falls in love with him, drug dealer. Perfect. Yeah, that pretty much sums up 1984. Okay. Yeah. And where Holly was at the time.
Does the fact that we were in college negate any of those or balance out any of the other stuff?
No. I mean, you were
oblivious. We were learning.
You're oblivious to everything. That. Much like me voting for Reagan, just kind of, you know, not aware of anything. You just assume that this guy has a great job and, or, you know, you don't even think about why he can afford an 84 Corvette, a yellow Corvette in 1984. How much did this drug dealer, how much did your Scarface boyfriend pay for this?
He was so cute. He looked like,
of course he was.
And by the way, he had a personalized license plate.
Of course he did.
On that yellow Corvette. But he paid.
It said DRGDLR, right?
No. Okay. I'll tell you.
I want to know. Yes, of course I want to.
Worse than that.
Was it like Pussy Wagon or something?
Not that bad. It was Nasty Guy.
It could have. It pretty much was Pussy Wagon. Okay.
And by the way, I didn't know he was a drug dealer back when I had a mad crush on him. I only found out later.
Where did you meet this man?
Okay, but back to how much a Corvette.
No, I want to know more about him. Class.
He was in my Spanish class in college. Yes, this is what I'm trying to tell you. He had to be legit because
he was in college. At Northridge, so not that legit. Did he have a mustache? Did he have, he had a mullet, right? Of course he did.
Yes, he did. It was kind of a modified mullet.
I know what he looks like. Oh, my God. Your poor parents. Did you ever introduce him to your parents?
Didn't know anything about him?
Of course not.
No, I never even dated him. He didn't like me. He was the reason. Okay, so this was 1983, and I was at CSUN, California State University, Northridge, and at Christmas winter break, I actually bought my very first answering machine because I thought that he might. He asked for my phone number, my landline, and I thought he might call me. So I bought an answering machine. But I probably still stayed home the entirety of the break thinking that he might call me.
And he never called you?
No. Nope. And he may have called once, but there was nothing to it.
Okay. And of course, you've looked him up on Facebook to see where he is now. What's he doing?
I have not looked him up.
What? That's what Facebook is for.
Here I go.
All right. Here we go. Looking up our guy, our Corvette, Scarface, Nasty Guy.
I wonder if he's dead.
Oh, all right.
Well, I don't think he lives in Fullerton. I wouldn't guess that.
All right.
The guy who lives in Fullerton with this name is wearing a cowboy hat, so I don't think that's him.
I don't know. I mean, you know, some time has passed.
Nope, because he's also celebrating his 41st anniversary. Wow, that could be him.
Yeah.
It's only dog pictures, though. I'm gonna have to do some research, and maybe we can discuss this on the next episode.
All right.
There seem to be a lot of farmers with this name, because here's one with a tractor. Yeah, we're gonna need to research this further. So stay tuned. This will be in an episode.
All right, I know.
You know what happened to my yellow Corvette hunk, Matt Dillon, lookalike from college.
I won't let Steve know that you're looking up going through your past life and wondering, whatever happened to? That was the first thing that I started doing when, you know, Facebook came out. Like, oh, where's this person? Where's that person? Like,
did that. But, you know, I think that somebody might told me that he might have ended up in jail.
Okay.
So maybe if we know anybody in the prison system, we can have them look him up.
Okay. You can pick him. So, yeah, I'm sure he had to sell the Corvette to pay for bail. How much did he pay?
So he paid for the Corvette. He paid
in cash.
In a suitcase.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
$25,000.
Yeah. Good guess. It was $24,000. Good times. Love it. I know. Well, as Holly steps into the Corvette, looking super fly fresh in her mini skirt and puffy.
Never got into the Corvette.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Oh, I don't know.
Might I don't know. Oh, regrets, huh? Regrets. I never got inside the Corvette. Oh, man. Well, Holly's going to be, Holly looks him up on Facebook and or does a deep dive into whatever happened to this guy. We should wrap up this episode so she can get to work.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to check the prison system first.
Okay. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. So, wow, that was 1984 in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay.
Not quite a nutshell.
Yeah. So I invite you to continue listening because now we're going to dig into 1984 from KROQ. This is the station that Holly and I were listening to probably full time. Whenever we stepped into the car, whenever we were in our room, when we weren't spinning records in our room, we were listening to the radio and KROQ was there.
And I cannot wait to start talking about these songs. I'm waiting to look at the chart myself because I want to prolong the excitement.
Very good. So anyway, I invite you to check that out. If you want to go back, if you want to go back in time even further, we did this with 1983, 82, 81, and 80. Not as in depth as we've kind of developed this format as we've moved along, but yeah, we're gonna do 10 song chunks in this these next episodes. We'll probably get some guests in there. We invite you to comment on what you've heard, what you want to hear, what you have heard, what you think, any sort of comment that comes into your head. How concerned you are for Holly, for a 19-year-old Holly who's still wondering what became of this mustachioed Lothario who drives the 84, the yellow 84 Corvette. All right, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.